For my money, one of the best writers working today is an author named Catherine Rundell, most noted for her children's fantasy series entitled Impossible Creatures. Rundell is an imaginative and beautiful storyteller who has a way with words that makes them jump right off the page and into your heart. And if you are someone who is skeptical of children's literature and maybe prefer more grown-up books, you can see her talents at work in her award-winning book on the 16th century poet and priest John Donne. Or you perhaps are the perfect candidate for one of her other works, which is a book called Why You Should Read Children's Books Even Though You Are So Old and Wise. In many ways, Rundell is the heir to such legendary thinkers, theologians, and yes, children's fantasy authors as C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, authors who also knew that children's literature helps people of all ages to wrestle with the most important questions in life. Right and wrong, justice and mercy, hate and love, good and evil, courage and fear. Sure, they wrap these lessons in magical worlds and memorable creatures, but when you are done, it can be assured that you will have learned something true about life, no matter how old you are. There is one such lesson for us on this Easter day, which comes at the end of Rundell's first Impossible Creatures book. Now, I won't try to summarize the whole plot, for as you know, summarizing the plot of a fantasy novel, which makes total sense in the world of the book, often ends up sounding completely ridiculous to those outside of it. But here's what you need to know. The hero is a girl named Mab, who is a unique creature who possesses a number of special powers. But in order to unlock the fullness of her power and to save her world, she has to choose to access the memory of all that has ever happened. For her predecessor, it had been too much. He had said no to the world and turned his back on it. Mal, however, chooses to see it all. And as we move toward the climax of the story, she elects to drink the potion which will unlock the memories of everything that has taken place in the history of the world. The drink knocks her out for a long time. And when she comes to, she is in rough shape, but her friend and fellow protagonist, Christopher, is there by her side. "Are you hurt?" he asks. She shook her head. "I have seen so much, Christopher." Her eyes in her child's face looked ancient. There was nothing young now in her look. It was the face of someone who knows the ancient, uncompromising truths. Her voice sounded burned, still, and she spoke low. "I have seen horror," she said. "I have seen immovable evil. I have seen brutality and lies. I've seen jealousy and spite and greed disguised as reason and sense. I have seen millions of men and women allow themselves ignorance as an excuse. I have seen corpses piled in the night. I have seen the dark, dark stacked upon dark. I have seen such purposeless sorrow. I have seen fear and dread. I have seen death. Oh, Christopher, the death." Her whole body next to him shook. "But I have seen people offer up their lives to save one another, as if it were as natural as breathing. I've known lovers find each other in war and famine. I have seen promises made and kept for entire lifetimes, unswervingly. as if it was easy. I've seen lions at midnight. I have seen wonder on wonder and wonder. I have seen how the world shines. I have seen people struggle to learn, and I have seen them triumph. I have seen kindness large and wild enough to transform you. I have heard the best jokes in the world and music so sweet I thought I might fall down because of it. I have seen so much done for love over and over. I have seen people die for love and live for love. I have seen birth and birth again. I have known such joy, the joy, Christopher. At that moment, they are interrupted by the villain of the story, and this then rushes things to the final climactic confrontation, and before one last heroic sacrificial act, Mal pulls Christopher in close. Christopher, come here. You have to listen to me. Listen. It is so difficult to be alive, and it is so beautiful. I need you to tell people this. I need you, when you get back, to tell them the brutality is terrible. And yes, the chaos is very great. But tell them, greater than the world's chaos are its miracles. If you've been following along the path of this Holy Week, which has led us up to this Easter day, you will know something of the horror of which Mal speaks. You will have felt the tide of that brutality and chaos rise to seemingly unconquerable height. On Good Friday, we watched that toxic tide of fear and lies and hate wash over people until they engaged in some of the most awful, inhumane acts that one human being can do to one another: betrayal, lying, mockery, stealing, torture, murder. It's all there on the way to today. And if you missed Good Friday, well, unfortunately, the world is providing us evidence enough every day of brutality and chaos, of fear and lies and hate spreading farther and farther until, like a shadow, it covers the world in darkness. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary from our gospel passage this morning knew this same horror firsthand. They had seen it from afar. They had watched in anguish as their beloved teacher and friend, the one whom they knew to be the Son of God, was cruelly tortured and brutally executed. And on that first Easter morning, as they approached the tomb where they had just seen his lifeless body laid, not only must they have been devastated, but they also must have been resigned to the fact that the brutality and the chaos of the world were, in fact, too powerful to be overcome. But what is waiting for them when they arrive? Not just an empty tomb, but a messenger, an angel who carries this very message, that greater than the world's chaos are its miracles. For they come and find that Jesus had stared down all the awfulness that resides in the human heart and in human history, and shown that greater still were the miracles of life and love. For despite the brutality and the chaos of the world, the dark which stacks upon dark, God's light still rises, still shines, still lives. Easter is not just the victory of life over death. It is also the victory of courage over fear. It is the victory of love over hate, of truth over lies, of light over dark. It is the verdict that in the cosmic balance of existence, even with all the horrors, all the pain, all the loss, all the ugliness, and all the grief, that life is still stronger, that God is still stronger. I know that it is hard out there right now. I know it is scary. I know there are many reasons to doubt the power of goodness, the power of love, to doubt that very power of God. The dark is very dark, and the dangers are very real, but that just means we need the message of Easter now more than ever. For this morning, Jesus speaks to us just as he spoke to those Marys all those years ago when he says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to believe in the ancient, uncompromising truths of the empty tomb, that the brutality is terrible. And yes, the chaos is very great, but greater than the world's chaos are its miracles. So do not give up hope. And do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to trust in that promise and live by its power. For we need people who, in the face of great darkness, hold fast to the light of the resurrection, who know it in their souls and show it in their lives, who charge forth into the world with the courage and the strength that it provides to beat back the darkness and disperse the shadows of sin, and to fill instead the air with shouts of joy, shouts of wonder, shouts of triumph. For Jesus Christ is risen today. So let the earth shake and let evil quake once more at the sound of our grand and glorious Alleluia, 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 and Amen.